This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A lot of storylines off the field. The AP Top 25. A lot of people putting out previews. And we wanted to get our friend Stuart Mandel, who runs the All-American on The Athletic. We wanted to get his thoughts on the Pac-12 and talk about some college football. So he's joining us now. TheAthletic.com. Just click the college football section. You'll find all their great work there. He just put out his Pac-12 preview on Friday, and he joins us now. Thanks for joining us in Portland, Stuart. We always appreciate the time, man. Our producer said, though, coming back from break, you're really locked in on the Urban Meyer story. What are your thoughts on the Urban Meyer story at Ohio State, and how do you think this is ultimately going to play out?
Well, I've been asked that second question a lot, and I don't know. And that's what makes this really fascinating. You have one of the most successful coaches in the country, one of the two most successful coaches in the country, his fate hanging in the balance. We know there's the update today was that the board there was being told the results of the investigation, and they'll meet again Wednesday and give a recommendation to the president, and nobody knows. He could be, it kind of depends on what they found. I mean, it entirely depends on what they found. Will they say, okay, we feel good enough to just bring him back? Will he be fired, or will it be somewhere in between where maybe he's suspended? But I thought Pete Bamel on Yahoo had a really interesting story today. It seems like he talked to a lot of the people with knowledge of the investigation, and it's the question I've been asking for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Is this just a very narrow investigation about this 2015 incident with Zach Smith and how Urban Meyer handled it, or is it more about this picture that we've seen emerge of Zach Smith and all of these things he's done or been accused of or been arrested for, and why was he on the staff for as long as he was? And it's starting to sound like it is encompassing of that.
Mm. Yeah, from a football standpoint, another hypothetical for you, but Ohio State might be without him. They might be with him. It could be a couple of game suspension. Kind of, what have you heard out of Columbus and how this affects the football team going into the year?
Well, everybody's obviously spinning it positively and saying, preparations are going well under interim coach Ryan Day. But if you look at the recent history of teams that had to, play with an interim coach, it hasn't gone well. Now, Ohio State has as much talent as anybody in the country outside of Alabama and Clemson. And even then, I think, it's splitting hairs. So it's not like they're lacking for talent. But when I had to do my Big Ten predictions last week, I couldn't pick them to win the Big Ten or even win their division, not knowing who the coach is going to be. So, let's say he is suspended, they announce like a 4-game suspension. Frankly, I don't know how you even determine how long a suspension should be in this situation. And then he's going to come back mid-season, having not seen this team in person or coached them all throughout preseason camp and the start of the season. I just don't see how you go through a season and not have that affect you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're confident now, Stuart, until my Beavs go in there week one and beat them and pull the big upset.
There you go.
Stuart Mandel is our guest now. The All-American on the Athletic College Football website does a great job. A ton of writers there. Tyson Alger, our buddy, he's covering the Ducks now for them as well. All right, so let's get into the Pac-12 here. You got Washington over Arizona as your predicted Pac-12 title game, and you got Washington going 11-1. Breaking them down, do you think the Huskies are a playoff team?
I think that they have all the pieces to be a playoff team. I think the biggest question, frankly, is do they beat Auburn in the first week? Because as we've seen with the committee, we thought going into this that with the emphasis on strength of schedule, there wouldn't be, there'd be more incentive to play those kind of games, that the risk would be less than it used to be. But at the same time, nobody's made it with two losses yet. So if they were to start 0-1, that's quite a hole to try to dig out of to make the playoff. But I certainly think if you're just looking at Washington as a team with a 4-year starting quarterback, with a record-setting running back, and obviously with what figures to be another dominant defense, to me they're the class of the Pac-12. Mm.
and your predictions as well for the Pac-12 North, it seems like you have Oregon kind of knocking on the door and just a step behind, obviously, where Washington is, but also Stanford. What needs to happen for them this year? What needs to go right for them this year to be back into that same conversation as those two teams who have been atop the North for a few years now?
Well, number one, Justin Herbert staying healthy for a full season. It's hard to believe for all the attention and acclaim that he gets, but he hasn't actually been the starter for a full season yet. So, obviously I think their fortunes are tied directly to him. I'm also curious to see how the running, we've just become spoiled in thinking Oregon will always have this fantastic running game and these great running backs. But this is the first time in a while where they don't have kind of a bona fide star coming back. And then obviously to actually win a championship, that defense, it got a lot better last season under Jim Leavitt. It'll have to keep getting better. But they were further along last season under Willie Taggart than I thought they would be given how bad things were when Mark Helfrich left. So I'm very optimistic for them this year. It'll just be hard to get a gauge with that non-conference schedule. We really won't know until they get into Pac-12 play how good they really are.
This is longtime college football writer Stuart Mandel is our guest. You know, the one surprising thing, and I had to do a double take on this one. I know it's year one, but Chip Kelly getting 4 wins this year, 2-7 for UCLA. You have them last in the South. What is it about the Bruins that leaves you just not confident at all that they're going to beat anybody?
The cupboard is bare. You know, it's as simple as that. The defense completely bottomed out by the end of Jim Mora's tenure. There's not a lot of, you think back to a few years ago when they had guys like Anthony Barr and Miles Jack. They don't have those kind of players now. So it's going to take time to restock the defense. Offensively, obviously everybody's wondering who's the quarterback, who's going to emerge as his guy there. It seemed kind of odd when he brought in Wilton Spate as the grad transfer from Michigan, who is not the least bit mobile, which seems to be a requirement for his offense. And then I don't think they have any big-time running backs. So, I have full faith in him as a coach and that he'll get things going there, but I think realistically year one could be pretty rough.
Every year with the college football playoff, there's always teams that are in the top 10 that fall down and then teams that are in that kind of mid-teen to high-teen range that are able to surprise people and climb up a little bit. Are there any of those that you're looking at this year either from either angle of a top 10 team that you're seeing showing up like, I'm just not buying it, they could have a bad year, or maybe a team that's in that 10 to 20 range that you don't think is getting the right amount of respect?
I think TCU should be getting more respect. They have won 11 games, 3 of the past 4 seasons. They were in the Big 12 championship game last year. They bring back the best defense in the Big 12. They were my pick actually to win the Big 12 because I think there's a window of opportunity there with obviously Oklahoma first year without Baker Mayfield. But it just seems like whatever they do under Gary Patterson, they still get completely overlooked the next year. On the other end of it, you can never – that one or two teams in that top in that AP poll that came out today in the top 10 will completely flop, but it's hard to predict that before the season because there's a reason you think they're a top 10 team in the first place.
Right.
A team that's kind of on the border, Notre Dame, expectations are very high for them because they did have a really good season last year. But I thought that I think they've got a problem at quarterback. Brandon Wimbush never showed last season that he could win a game with his arm. Now they don't have Josh Adams, the running back. They don't have those two tackles that both went in the first round of the NFL draft. So that side could take a step back. I could see Notre Dame being more of an 8-4 type team rather than a borderline top 10 team.
What are the coaches on the hottest seat, in your opinion, going into this season?
There aren't a lot of, coaches on the hot seat right now at glamour programs. It's, obviously David Beatty, the coach at Kansas, is on the hot seat. Guys like that. As of this moment, I don't know that there's obvious, like we were going into last season wondering if there are going to be new coaches at Auburn and Arkansas and places like that. If we're taking Urban Meyer out of the equation, obviously, you're talking about guys like David Beatty, Lovie Smith. I would say Cliff Kingsbury got a reprieve last year at Texas Tech, but is still very much on the hot seat. One high-profile one would be Ed Orgeron at LSU, and I don't think it's fair that he would be on the hot seat after really last year was his first full season as the permanent coach.
Yeah.
But expectations are always high there. And a lot of people viewed him as the consolation prize in the first place that LSU fans wanted Jimbo Fisher or Tom Herman. And on paper, this does not look like a great LSU team. So if they took a big step back, that could be a problem for him.
You mentioned Notre Dame, too. I feel like Brian Kelly's name gets thrown there every once in a while. You didn't mention him, so I'm just going to kind of assume you don't feel that it's such a hot seat season for Brian Kelly. But if there are a couple glamour jobs that somehow open up, do you think any of those programs would take that chance on a guy like Lane Kiffin?
Not yet. Now, I could change my answer if he goes 12-0 this year, if he's the beats Oklahoma on the road as the Group of Five darling. He certainly, I think, at this point has proven what a good X's and O's coach he is, especially in offense, obviously on the offensive side of the ball. But it's not like, the kind of stuff he's tweeting, the kind of stuff he's doing at FAU, it's harmless, fairly harmless when you're the coach of FAU. But if you're the coach at LSU, every little thing you do becomes a huge headline and a huge distraction. So I don't know. I think ADs at the top level programs would have a hard time justifying that or frankly stomaching it, knowing he's always one controversy away from something crazy. But maybe a next level down Power Five team that just really wants the attention that comes with it could take that chance.
Yeah. One program that we've had a lot of fun kind of going back and forth about is a team that's shown up in almost everybody's top five or six, and that's Wisconsin. And we know how much talent they're returning. I guess when I look at them, though, there's not many college teams that have won national championships with subpar or average quarterback play unless you're a place like Alabama. So I guess my question about Wisconsin would be, can they get good enough quarterback play to get them there, or are they good enough elsewhere on the roster, offensive line, running back, defense, to win in spite of their quarterback?
Well, I think Alex Hornibrook he threw a lot of interceptions last year, but he also made a lot of big plays. He's not the strength of their team, but I don't think he's as much of a weakness as people necessarily assume. I think Wisconsin is absolutely capable of winning the Big Ten and making it into the playoffs. This is certainly going to be their best offense, frankly, that they've had in a long, long time there. My concern with them and with Michigan State and with TCU, frankly, these programs that don't sign top 10, top 15, maybe even top 20 recruiting classes and make the most of what they have, that's a great formula for winning 10 or 11 games and maybe winning your conference. It's not a great formula to get into the playoff and win back-to-back games against Alabama and Clemson or Ohio State and, another one of those blue bloods, Georgia, that recruits all these guys. So that's my concern for Wisconsin. But, as much success as they've had for 25 years, going back to Barry Alvarez, they've never actually played for the national championship. So just getting into the playoff, I think, would be a huge accomplishment, kind of a milestone accomplishment for that program that in turn would probably elevate their recruiting quite a bit.
Yeah, I like them a lot. I think I have them in my playoff when we're doing predictions. There we go. Stuart Mandel, the All-American. Go find it. Go read it. It is absolute must-read stuff at The Athletic. Great job, man. Continued success. And we'll catch up with you down the road.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.